God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You, yes, yes, yes. When I see you, I see you. Even you. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Mystery Power Nugget. But 15 minutes of your day can change, will change, if you give God your ear and your heart. I declare that it will not be me. It will not be your circumstances. It will not be your limited understanding. But it will be the Word of God that will change your life. Grateful to God that He has given us another opportunity. Grateful to God that He has given us another chance. Grateful to God that He has given us another moment of living to be able to experience Him in yet another way. Let us pray. Gracious Father and God, we love you today. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for waking us up. We thank you, God, for being with us. We thank you, God, for providing for us and supplying us with health, life, and strength, God. There is no place we could have bought it. There is no place we could have borrowed it. There is no place we could have worked hard enough to earn it. But God, it is through you that life courses through our bodies. It is through you that our heart is beating. It is because of you that we're able to take in the breath of life. And we will never be able to thank you enough for your manifold blessings. God, we haven't even scratched the surface of all that you've done for us since we laid down last night and got up this morning. We don't even have to talk about what we experienced with our consciousness within the last 24 hours. But God, even as we slept, you did not sleep, you did not slumber. You were still working behind the scenes on our behalf. And God, we are grateful. God, there is no way, no way that we would be able to sit and recite everything that you have done for us. But God, we pray that in this moment that you will accept our thanks. In this moment, you will accept our appreciation. In this moment, you will even accept our sacrifice of waking early this morning, God, to hear what you have to say to us. Now, God, we ask just that. Speak to us. Speak to us, God. Speak to us in a way that we will be able to say, wow, how did we know I would be on and that I would need to hear this word? Wow. How did we know that I needed to be taken out of this and be set back on my path to destiny? Because God loves us enough. And we thank you for your love, God, that you would tailor-make words so much so for us that we will be able to hear, we will be able to move, and in some instances, God, we will be able or feel or unction to repent, God, to get back into the direction and path in which you are calling us. God, we love you today. God, speak to us. God, let the world change us, transform us, so that we can live better when we close this call than we have been before we got on. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we thank God for all of you who have taken up your sleep, your slumber, your preparation time to hear what God has to say. On this morning, we are going to journey through the New Testament. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to go to the 9th chapter. We're going to start at the first verse, John 9. Starting at verse 1, reading from the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. As he knew when Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he sat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he applied the clay to his eyes, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back clean. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but it was like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes open? He answered, the man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the law and wash. And I went away and washed, and I received sight. I have a bit of a passage that I want to reread, a bit of a section of this passage I want to reread. We start at verse 2. And then the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who said this man or his parents that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must work the work of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And the word of the Lord is blessed. On this morning, I want to bring to you a question that we may ask ourselves very often. Often when we're struggling with something, often when it seems as though things aren't going right, often when it seems as if life is not fair. On this morning, I'm just going to ask or propose this topic. Why me? Why me? Why do good things, or bad things rather, seem to happen to good people? Why me? You all, if I could just set the backdrop on this really quickly with the time that I have left. Jesus and his disciples came across a man who the Bible says had been blind from birth. But since he had been blind from birth, right away the disciples asked Jesus the question that seems to be so relevant when we're dealing with something today. Who messed up? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he had to be born blind? They were trying to make sense of why this man was suffering by attributing it to something, attributing it to sin, trying to make sense of it because they figured somebody had to have fallen short. Somebody had to have fallen out of the way of God's will. Somebody had to have just gone wrong. But they say, who sinned? But Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, he had to help try and readdress their thinking, try and refocus their thinking. And nobody messed up. It wasn't this man. Remember, he was blind from birth, so he certainly didn't sin in the womb. Nor was it his parents. It was so that the work of God might be displayed in him. The work of God might be seen through him. See, Jesus' response to this is so important because it changes the focus of blaming and trying to rationalize why the suffering happens, why this trial pinpoint where somebody had gone wrong. To see it as an opportunity for God's work to be displayed. See, this man's blindness is not a punishment, but it was a setup. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. What you're dealing with is not a punishment, but it is a setup. Now, mind you here, if something has occurred that fell outside of the will of God, then you might be dealing with consequences. But if you're sitting on today saying, why is it that this good person who's been good all their life, why are they struggling with cancer? Why did this child lose both their parents? Why is it that this person who really needs their insurance for their health challenges just got a paycheck? Why? Why am I struggling in my mental? Why do I feel so despondent? Why do I feel like I don't fit? Not because not always because of sin. It's not always because someone did something wrong. It is set up for God to step in. It is not to say that God causes suffering just to show off his power, but rather that in a broken world, in this broken world, God's glory can shine through even, oh my God, even through the darkest situation. Yeah. Romans 8:28 assures us of this today, and we know that all things, oh God, hear the word of God right now. All things work together now for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then Jesus performs a miraculous healing. He spits on the ground, he makes mud, makes clay, and he takes this clay and he anoints the man's eyes, and then he instructs him to wash in the pool named Siloam, which means sent. He was sent there by Jesus. This man didn't ask any questions. He didn't say, why did you spit? Nobody wants to spit on my eyes. Why did you put this dirt on my eyes? It'll make my eyes worse. He didn't say any of that. The man obeyed. Not who was going to take me. You know I'm blind. Come on. You know we always got reasons, excuses, problems for what God asked us to do. But this man just went and obeyed, and he came back seeing. Can you imagine a man who had been blind since birth, never saw images, never saw people, always heard crowds, but never heard who was saying them, never heard where they came from, able to see in vivid technicolor. Can you imagine his joy? Can you imagine his excitement? And everybody who saw him was like, whoa, is this not the blind beggar? And now he's going around with perfect sight. Wow. Has he been lying to us all this time trying to get our money? How did this happen? He says, the man named Jesus made clay, put on my eyes, told me to go, I see. That's something. I want you to think about your own life. You may be in a situation right now where you're asking, why me? Maybe you're dealing with a health report. Maybe you're dealing with a loss that came out of nowhere. Maybe you're dealing with a setback. Setback on your job. Set back in your finances, set back in your relationship, something that you worked so hard for, and the setback seems so unfair and so unexplainable. You all are seeing these moments that is so natural for us to question, for us to try and understand. Again, I just leave you with some good news as we start to close this out. You all, God sees your pain. And not only does he see your pain, but your pain is not without purpose. Sometimes it's to strengthen your faith. Other times, it can be a testimony to others. And often, you all, it is to reveal the glory of God in ways we can never imagine. But the one thing that I can definitely tell you all is temporary. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:17 starts to tell us. He says, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight, a greater weight of glory that's far beyond all comparison. Because we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are just temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. You are going to get tested. That's what James 1 tells us. We're going to encounter temptation, trial. But James also tells us to count it joy. Because the testing of our faith produces patience and endurance and we'll be perfect and complete. Not perfect in life, but perfect in our faith. Nothing lacking. If you're facing suffering, you're facing a hardship or something, just remember that God didn't leave you. He is at work. He has not abandoned you. He is setting the stage for his glory to be revealed in your life. Trust his plan even when you don't understand it, and lean on it and let the faith be centered. Let's pray. Gracious Father. Father, I pray that we will shift our focus to why me to God and trust you. God, thank you for your unwavering love and faithfulness towards us. God, when it gets hard and when it feels like the suffering gets too tough, God, help us to trust in your perfect plan. Open our eyes to see your glory in every situation. God, increase our faith. And God, let us be a testimony of your power and your grace. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazing week. God bless you. In Jesus' name.